The New Yorker magazine is renowned for its meticulous style and standards, but its Manhattan offices, where great writers and cartoonists have worked for almost 60 years, have a different reputation, run down, shabby, and eccentric. Tomorrow, The New Yorker is moving across the street. It's the end of an era, but it's an era that seems to have already ended twice in the past few years. In 1985, the magazine was taken over by a new owner. Longtime editor William Shawn was replaced 2 years later. Cartoonist Ed Koren has worked at The New Yorker's old offices for 20 years. He draws those shaggy, snaggle-toothed beasts. The Smithsonian Institution hopes to recreate his office and the office of staff writer and humorist Calvin Trillin. We called Koren at his home in Vermont to find out what the Smithsonian plans on taking.
I was told they will take anything that I wasn't going to use, and it does pose a problem in a couple of ways. One, that I have to still use all the things that are being moved, and the other is that I, you know, my particularly scuffed-up desk and crummy chair, do I have to then treat them with a lot greater compassion and reverence? I know they want a calendar, and they wanted a few odds and ends on the bulletin board. They took photographs, it seems, when I wasn't there, and rather minute ones. So I guess they can reconstruct it after I'm long gone. It's a kind of tomb, the cartoonist's tomb.
So what are you taking with you? What do you most want to keep?
Well, in fact, I took everything with me over to the other office. It was awfully hard to unburden myself of things that I've come to live with for a long time.
So instead of making a fresh start, you want to make your new office as much as the old one as possible?
Yeah, I think in truth, everyone at the New Yorker has a great deal of ambivalence about that very issue, whether to... I know some people are looking at this as if it were a great opportunity to rebirth themselves in a funny way, and others are simply wanting, as I do, to cling to the past, and being conservative folk, as I am, to simply try to replicate the New Yorker as we still know it, because I think there's a lot of fear that with the new digs, there's going to be an entirely different magazine. And there's some of my colleagues feel a kind of that there's a conspiracy. They're conspiratists in general, but that the new ownership is in some ways breaking our spirit, or the spirits that have lingered for close to 60 years in those offices.
Well, what was the significance of the offices? What does it mean to people there?
Well, I've been pondering that myself. For me, it's really. I think it's a personal. It's partially personal. One that I've come to some sort of maturity in those offices, in one way or another, or I've grown old, and depending on how you look at it. they have that kind of sentimental. I have a sentimental attachment to them, even though they're perfectly inadequate when I think of the corridors and just the physical aspect of it. They're dowdy, and the lighting is bad, the scale is wrong, the surfaces, it's all monotone. They're kind of an institutional tan or yellowish tan walls with linoleum floor that is almost matches the same color as the walls. The lighting is fluorescent in large part, and it kind of deadens everything that happens to walk up and down those corridors. On the other hand, it's where a lot of ferment, a lot of talk, and a lot of connection, personal connections, has taken place.
Now, you live in Vermont.
Yeah.
When you do go to New York to go to the New Yorker offices, how much time do you spend? Do you like nearly live in your office
I
when
do,
you're in New York?
Actually, I really do. I always feel that I shouldn't. That if I am in New York, I should be doing all sorts of other things. But in truth, I spend most of my time there.
You have a bed there and everything?
No. Although I've been known to take cat naps on the floor, but brushing aside all the dust balls and whatever has accumulated over those years. But I seem to like hanging around the office.
Do you think it will be different in the new office?
You know, I don't have any idea. And in some sense, it's a little bit of an adventure that way. I have a mixture of anticipation when I'm there this coming week. And on the other hand, I'm rather full of apprehension because I've gotten used to into this quirky space of mine, and all the ghosts in it. And there was a gentleman named Freddie Packard who used to inhabit my office, and somehow I feel I'm saying goodbye to him, as well as all the other, you know, odds and ends of that, the rest of the office.
New Yorker cartoonist Ed Koren, New Yorker staff writer Calvin Trillin told me one of the things he's sorry to leave behind is a drawing on his office wall by Ed Koren.
He did, I guess it was meant to be me typing, although it's needless to say, a shaggy, snaggletooth beast typing. And over him are like two angels, are people handing the results in. One of them says something like, great. The other one is a rejection note that has a wonderful New Yorker phrase on it, sorry, not for us. And I'm going to be very sorry to leave that, but Ed promised me that he'd make me a new one in the new office, so it makes me feel a little better.
Calvin Trillin, The New Yorker moves to new offices tomorrow. I'm Terry Gross.